Hello, this is Jenny.
And this is Philip.
And this is Tokyo Adventures Podcast. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
How are you all doing? We are just chilling at home.
Yep, we're hanging out.
Yeah, I spent the day cleaning, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I got the urge to clean everything, so I did.
And I then got to...
Phil got to game.
Yeah.
Pretty much all day.
This was a vacation day for me, so got to stay home and play some League of Legends.
Yeah.
Anyone knows what that is?
The new season just started.
Yep.
Am I right?
It's starting rough.
Yeah, Phil's trying to...
All the trolls are out and about.
Climb up in his... What
my
are
ranks,
they, levels?
My tiers.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I've been playing, too.
Yeah,
which
that's true.
I have not played League of Legends since we were in college.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, like, what, 2012?
12.
Yeah. Graduated in 2012. So... Some of Phil's online friends kept pressuring me to play, and so finally I'm like, fine, I'll set up a little station.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a gaming computer like Phil does,
right?
So I'm setting up my little 13-inch MacBook on
right.
the kitchen counter.
It's one of the few games that I can play too.
Yeah, and so I've been playing with them and it's been pretty fun.
Yeah, I think we've been having a blast.
Yeah, I'm not as bad as I feel like I was back in college, so
I think you're doing pretty good.
Yeah,
picking up the 80 yeah. carry role.
I like to play Ashe for anyone
yep.
who does League of Legends.
Ashe main. I'm a mid
yes.
main.
Yes, and I just got a fancy Ashe skin.
Yeah,
the,
it was a cosmic
cosmic
queen.
Queen Ashe. I'm pretty.
It's got celestial arrows.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So we've been doing that lately. Like I said, I cleaned, Phil played. We're just chilling. We actually have a few drinks with us tonight.
Yes.
Some adult beverages.
Ooh, here, let me introduce some ASMR quality audio. So this is I have a Strong Zero in front of me. So we're going to get crunk tonight.
If you guys are familiar with Strong Zero, you know this is basically poison.
This stuff is intense. It just takes one can and they're like, what, $1.50?
Yeah, they're pretty cheap.
Yeah, you can get the smaller ones for like a buck.
Yeah.
And then there's this taller can, which
yeah.
we have for
$1.50.
We
usually split because we're old people and we can't handle our alcohol.
Yeah, so let's just have a good time. We're here to chat. And here we go. Let me open this up for y'all.
Oh, you disturbed Mowgli.
Oh, Momo. Oh, you heard that.
He's sitting in his bowl next to us, snoozing. Is that delicious? I already cracked open a can of umeshu, which I love umeshu. And this one's fizzy, so I think we're going to have a good podcast tonight. Is that the grapefruit?
This is grapefruit and lemon.
Oh, that sounds good.
If I heard it and I didn't taste it, I would feel like that sounds weird, but it works.
Yeah. For Strong Zero, I mean, you get what you get.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit off topic there, but that's what we've been doing today. We're having a good time. We are going to talk on kind of a big subject,
mm-hmm.
and we have decided after kind of looking through it, we are going to split this specific topic into two episodes.
Right.
And we're going to focus one episode on apartments, mm-hmm. everything about apartments, and the other one we're going to focus on cost of living.
Right.
Both of them are pretty substantial topics,
mm-hmm.
so we feel like...
Very information heavy.
Yeah. Both of these episodes are going to be information heavy, so just... kind of be prepared for that. But for those of you interested in moving to Japan, these are going to be super helpful for you.
Right. I think that this is something that people have sent us messages about.
Yeah. We
got
a lot
of people
of questions
are super interested
this.
In this. So we figured we'd make a good detailed podcast for the people that are genuinely looking into moving here. Maybe you're already in that process
mm-hmm.
where you're thinking, I want to, but I'm not really sure. And I don't know if I can afford it. I don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
So maybe this can give a little bit more of an idea of like what is over here.
What are apartments like?
Yeah.
What are the cost of things? So
right.
This is going to be the ones for you. Today we're going to start with apartments.
Okay.
There's a lot to talk about with apartments.
And this can cover more than just apartments. This can also cover actual houses, detached homes, or whatever, condos.
And this isn't like purchasing them. This is renting. Like renting a house, renting a condo, renting an apartment.
And this is pretty common. If you live in Tokyo or in the city, this is the standard. Everyone pretty much has an apartment for all their lives.
Yeah.
From because all the way through.
Buying a house here is not an investment like it is back in the US. Houses actually depreciate as what we've heard anyway.
Right.
So most people just keep renting, or they'll buy a house and they'll live in that house forever because they're losing money by owning a house.
Yeah, it's usually very intentional because you want that extra space, or you want something that's unique to a home that an apartment doesn't give.
Yeah. Okay, let's start with apartment sizes.
Yeah.
You want to take us off there?
Sure. Phil? So talking about the sizes of homes versus apartments.
Yeah.
So the average size and average cost in Tokyo for an apartment is, this is for a 1DK. So that's a one
bedroom,
dining room and kitchen.
Yeah.
Which it doesn't say LDK. There's no living room. It's just basically a spot for your...
You don't have a living room.
Right. It's enough for a table and your bed and maybe a little bit of space.
Yeah.
So that's 25 to 30 square meters, and it's 80,000 yen. So that roughly approximates to about $800 US, and 25 to 30 square meters is about 300 square feet.
Yeah, which is
pretty small.
Small for $800.
Yeah, if you think about what $800 can buy you in the US, you get a lot more space.
Yeah, and you have a quick little formula for converting the square meter.
Yes. Yeah, so if you're looking online at apartments and you see this and you're trying to figure out what it is, square meters can convert to square feet. So 10 square meters equals 100 square feet.
Okay.
So if you have a 50 square meter apartment, that would equal roughly 500 square feet.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes it fairly simple.
Yeah.
And Phil did a lot of this without me. This was stuff that he had to look heavily into when I was still back in the US with the cats.
Right.
So he's a little bit more familiar with this, so he may have some things to answer.
I had to figure all of this out myself.
Yeah.
And then we would try to talk, you know, she was still in the US and we'd have to not Skype. What was it? What did we use?
Marco Polo.
Yeah. Yeah. With Marco Polo stuff, and I would send her, here, I'm looking at this one right now. As soon as you wake up, what do you think?
Yeah, and then sometimes I'd have to stay up really late because he's out with the realtor looking at places, and it's like, well, are we going to sacrifice this, or are we going to do that, or is this too much?
Right. So
it was crazy.
Speaking of realtors, that's actually the good next part.
Yeah.
So there's a really interesting thing here where you have to talk to a realtor to get an apartment in Japan.
Yeah, well, you have to go through a realtor, not just talk to them.
Right.
Like
in the US, you don't have to. You can go to the apartment complex directly. Yeah,
and you just talk to the office and they're like, I want an apartment. And they're like, cool. Here, it does not work like that. You have to go through a realtor. And that will cost you. Mm-hmm. So you have to pay for their service of helping you. And that will depend on your rent, actually, the amount you pay to them. Usually it's a percentage, right?
Yes. Well, it's usually either a month of your rent or half a month of your rent. So usually it scales based on how much you pay monthly.
Okay.
So if you're buying a really fancy place, they get a bigger bonus out of it.
Gotcha. Okay.
Go
with your strong zero. If you go with a realtor and you look at places and you don't end up getting anything, you do not have to pay them anything. And I think that's across all realtors,
I think that's pretty consistent.
Okay. I didn't want to put that out there and it's not true, but I'm pretty sure that's true. Yeah. So most of the listings that you are going to want to look at are through your realtor.
Yes.
Because you can look online, and we did before we moved to Japan. We were looking at listings. We're like, oh, that looks cool. And then he gets there and all of them are gone.
Yeah. None of them are available.
Yeah.
And some of them were even months off the market.
Yeah. So you may see something online, but chances are it's gone.
Right. So don't count on it being available. But it gives you kind of a good guideline to go based on, like,
cost, areas, what to expect in, like, the look of the house.
Right.
But definitely you are going to find your house through what the realtor can show you. Because everything online is probably already gone, like we said.
And that's a good key, is that they are going to have additional places that you may not know are listed.
Yeah. And I think it's valuable because you don't always know, like, the neighborhoods, or you don't know kind of what your needs are.
I didn't know it before we even got our apartment now.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're kind of like, well, there's an expectation of what you think will be in an apartment, and it's not always the same here.
Right.
So explaining to your realtor, like, I want this, like, the square feet,
this location,
this distance from a train, the window. There's a lot of things that your realtor can help you find that is not as easy for you to find on your own.
Yeah. So one other thing, the last part about realtors is when you're getting your apartment, they go really fast.
Yes.
So what I mean by this is I went out by myself because Jenny wasn't here yet.
Right.
And I went with my realtor and looked at about 10 different apartments. Mm-hmm. And so I'd say don't settle on just the first one.
Yeah, and don't feel bad because you're literally paying them to help you. So
yeah, right.
Look at as many apartments as you need.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't waste their time, but you can look at more than a few.
So one day we go out and we're looking at three different apartments. And the first one was promising. And the two other two were, they're okay. And so I thought afterwards, maybe I'll put a hold on that first apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time we were done with the day, so it was like get up at 10 a.m. and then about 4 p.m. or something like that, we were done and it was already gone. So someone already put in a spot, they already locked it.
Yep.
So you've got to go quick. If you find that one that you like, you need to jump on it.
If it's perfect, like it works for your budget, it hits most or all of your needs, you should really go ahead and put in that application because it will be gone by the end of the day.
And
especially here in Tokyo.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And what was I going to say?
I was thinking about when you put in the application.
Yeah.
This is...
Oh, that is what I was going to say.
Yeah, yeah. I knew you were thinking that.
Okay. You were on the same frame wavelength.
Yeah. Yep. I got you. I got you, fam. So when you put in an application, normally in the U.S., that means you have to put down money. That's official.
Yeah.
But here, that's more of saying you're holding the spot.
Your intention is to move forward with it.
Yeah. So you're basically holding it. You don't even have to put money down. But it says, I'm interested in this, hold this, and you can keep looking at more apartments.
Yeah.
And even put a hold on two or three of them.
Yep.
And then decide to cancel.
Yeah.
And so that on your side is just saying, hold them as quick as possible. But if someone else has a hold on it, that also means that hold might go up. So it might be worth it to put your name on the list.
Yeah.
Just in case they cancel.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't hurt to throw it out there. Put your name on whatever you think is good and then you can let it go.
Right.
That way at least you're in line for the place.
Yeah.
All right. Going off of like what you want to look for in an apartment or house or condo or whatever. The first thing you're going to want to decide is where you want to live.
Location, location, location.
Yes. And a lot of this will be decided for you, those who are moving with a job, because obviously you'd like to live near your job.
Right.
Unless you want a crazy long commute. That's...
Especially if you're teaching English.
Yeah. Teaching English, just money-wise, is going to limit you how much you want to commute and time and all that.
Yep.
So first things first, decide where you want to live. Do you want to live in the country? Do you want to live in like a rural neighborhoody area? Or do you want to live in the heart of like a big city, Tokyo, Kyoto, Osaka, all of that? And that's going to determine a lot of the cost.
Yes.
And things you want to look for. Yeah. So once you decide where you're going to live, country, city, rural, whatever, there are a number of considerations that you need to think about when you're picking out your place, because it will drastically change, I think, your experience from day to day.
Yes.
So let's go ahead and talk about those. The first one we're going to start with is what is around you?
Right. What's nearby your apartment?
Yeah. And that's like grocery stores or konbinis. Konbinis are the lifeblood of Japan. Or parks or even some really cool neighborhoods where you can just walk around. Like we've done that before and that's really fun.
Yeah, it's great to just walk around nearby and just see what's nearby.
Yeah.
See what's near you.
Yeah, restaurants or
even
stores.
Some shrines.
Yeah, some really cool shrines. There's lots that you can have around you. And so if you really want to have that community, if it's important to you, you need to make sure that the place that you're looking at has all those things.
Right.
So if you figured out that you have enough around you that makes you happy, the next thing that's going to be really important to you is the proximity to a train.
Yeah. This was more valuable than we even thought too.
Yeah. This is probably second to location and size of your place. The closer you are to a train line or a station, the more expensive your apartment is going to be.
Yeah, especially if it's something like the Yamanote.
Yeah.
The Yamanote
is the main,
golden standard.
Yeah, it's the main area, the main line that you would use when you live in Tokyo. Mm-hmm. So anything close to there is going to be significantly more expensive.
Yeah, it's essentially a circle around the heart of Tokyo and hits most of the major spots.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really great about it is it's about, 2 to 3 minutes between each train?
Yeah, usually you don't wait any longer than 5 minutes.
Right, so if you miss one, you're
you'll
good.
Be fine, yeah.
But if you're on a train that goes out of Tokyo, like if you're going further away into the more countryside, those trains can take 10 to 15 minutes in between the next one.
And not even ones that are just leaving the city. Like, mm-hmm. we know some that are here in the main part of Tokyo, and it's 10 minutes between each train. And you're thinking, well, 10 minutes is not that big a deal. But if you happen to miss your train,
and you're trying to get to work,
or some other important appointment, that 10 minutes makes you late. So it is important.
And it's also, if you're talking about how long it takes to get from your house to the train, right?
Yeah.
If it's 15 minutes or under, that's typically the average of comfortable.
What people are looking for. Yeah.
If it's more than 15 minutes, it's totally doable, but I feel like that gets into that range where you're kind of not sure if you want to go out, where you're thinking, well, let's go out for dinner. Should we go get some ramen?
Yeah.
And if you're 30 minutes away.
Or 15 minutes away.
Yeah.
Or
if,
more.
If you're further than 15.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't know. Maybe I'll just stay inside and pick up something.
Yeah. You might stay home more than you'd like.
Right.
It gets old.
Some people like it for biking, which that's cool. Yeah. Like if you can bike every day,
and some people
more power to you.
Some people just don't care. They're like, I'll walk 30 minutes. Right. And it's not a big deal. But if you don't have your grocery store near you and you have to get to a train to go to your grocery store, and then you have to carry your groceries back from the train to your house.
Heavy bags.
Trust me. We don't even have that long of a commute from our train to our house.
Mm-hmm.
And they're heavy and it gets really old really fast if you're going
to
the grocery store
a car
couple times
in the
a
US.
Week.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have a car here. Most people don't. Most people are taking the train, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
They're using their bike or they're walking.
Yep.
So if you have 20 minutes from your train and you're carrying groceries, good luck.
Yeah.
Especially during the summer because you will literally
die.
Oh,
it's so hot. It's just, you will sweat in between walking to the train.
Yeah, because where we live, there is an option for us to walk or take the train to one of our grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can walk there and it's like 13 minutes, right?
Right.
And when the weather is nice, sure.
It's great.
It's not that big a deal.
13-minute walk outside in Tokyo, you love it.
Yeah.
But
during the summer, you will die. You will perish.
It's toasty.
Halfway between your house and the grocery store.
Yeah.
So
it's swampy, too. Like,
yeah.
It's so humid. It's not just hot. It's very humid.
Yeah. So it's something you really need to place high on your, requirements for a house. Make sure you're at a distance that is comfortable for you daily.
Right. I would honestly say being closer to a train, like from the walk from your house to your train, is more important than the distance on a train.
Oh,
So like if I had a 2-minute walk to the train station, but a 30-minute train commute, I would probably pick that over a 20-minute walk to the train and only a 5-minute or
train
10-minute
to the
train.
Next place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean.
So, right.
You got me.
If you have a longer walk to some of the stations, the train stations will have a place for you to park your bike.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's all of them, but if
most of them do, at least they have bike parking that you can pay for.
Yeah. I think usually you do have to pay for it.
They're starting to buckle down on that too.
If you cannot afford to live super close to a train station, you have to use a bike. That's something that is an option for
you.
You
can't take your bike on the train.
Yeah, you cannot.
I didn't know that. So if you're trying to go and take your bike and go around Yogi Park, you can't do that. You'd actually have to go from your house to Yogi Park.
Yeah, that's something on bike. We didn't know, and unfortunately, we cannot ride our bikes around.
Right.
But hopefully, our next place will be closer to like a park or something.
Yeah, I want to ride my bike in some pretty areas.
Yeah. Additional to like the proximity from your house to the train, you also want to consider the number of transfers you may have to take.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're using trains to commute every day to work and you're hitting multiple 3-4 transfers, the time in between the trains can be pretty significant.
Yeah.
So if your total travel time is what, 20 minutes, mm-hmm. and you have an additional 20 minutes in transfer time, mm-hmm. you're doubling that distance, that time to work.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that expensive. I had someone at my work when we were first moving here said, you should try to keep it to no transfers or that one expensive? Transfer. Huh?
You said, I didn't know.
Expensive in time.
Oh, okay. I got
so,
you.
Like, if you.
I understand.
Yeah, so what he was saying is try to keep it to no transfers or one transfer is ideal.
Right.
Once you start hitting two transfers, you start getting that where if you miss one of those trains, you could cost yourself 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And some of the stations can be really lengthy in between. Like, it can take 15 minutes between platform to platform.
Yeah, and other ones could be. That's not typical, but it can be that way.
Right, but you need to be aware that some of them take longer than others, or other ones are just, you hop off the train and you walk 2 feet and you're on the next train.
Right, and two, I think, if you're not familiar, there are two different main train lines. There is the JR East, mm-hmm. and there are the Toei lines. And these are both lines that are all throughout Tokyo, but they do not share the same physical trains.
Yeah, so you have to go out of one.
You have to transfer and go out of the gate of like mm-hmm. a Toei and then go into the gate of the JR East and then get onto the train. So the distance between the two platforms mm-hmm. can be significant even though they're in the same station.
Right. Some of them are just separate stations altogether because they, I don't know if they don't get along or what, but.
We don't know the drama, the tea there.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
that's how it is.
All right. So up next is animals. So we brought over two cats.
As you guys know.
Mm-hmm. And that will drastically affect the number of apartments that are available to you.
Yes, it will probably cut, I don't know, maybe like in half.
Half, yeah.
So you already lose a lot of options being a foreigner.
Mm-hmm. Which that's a whole thing I won't get into, but
yeah, that
you,
is a...
you lose a lot of options. Unless you speak perfect Japanese, then maybe it opens up some, but
it
still
opens up more options, but no matter what, there are places that will not rent to foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a fact of life. Living here, there are some places that do not like to rent to foreigners because there is some discrimination there.
Right. Long story short, they worry that people will leave. And so if they try to rent it to you and they're worried that someone will leave and go back to their country, then they're stuck in a tough spot.
But then there are people who literally just are discriminatory towards foreigners.
Yeah.
So that automatically cuts a large chunk of the options mm-hmm. you will have. And then having animals on top of that is going to cut even further into the options that you have.
Dogs even more so. I think cats are...
Cats are a little bit more acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
The more animals you have, the more difficult it will be.
Mm-hmm.
I think
especially
they're...
once you go over two. Like if you have three animals, you're going to struggle.
Right. Two.
You probably need a house.
One or two usually is fine. More than that, you're going to find that it's kind of hard to find a place that'll accept you.
Yeah, and also big dogs, too, can be a factor. If you have a little dog, a lot of times they're accepted if they'll fit in a bag.
Yeah.
But if you have a big dog, a lot of places will just say no.
Yeah, and there are also some breed restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
that's true.
All of this is going to vary from place to place. Yeah, there's so much variety from one place to the next. You never know, honestly.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to the next thing, earthquake resistance.
Ooh.
Surprisingly important.
Should I say shaky topic?
No.
Dad joke alert.
Earthquake resistance, it's something that can be important to you, or maybe you just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But not every place in Japan, be it a home or an apartment, is prepared for a larger earthquake.
Right. They have standards that have come out throughout the years.
Yes.
The last most notable one that we've seen online is from 2000. So anything that was made after the year 2000 should have the newest earthquake standards.
Yes.
Right. But things beforehand, so if you see your apartment complex, you're looking at it and it was made in 1999 and you're like, this one's really cheap.
Yeah.
It looks like a good deal. That mm-hmm. could be the difference.
It could be. I think it makes a small difference.
It does.
Yeah.
And I think that's really up to you. Does that matter?
Yeah.
Also, is the area that you're in more prone to earthquakes?
Because
some places in Japan have a lot more than other ones, and then some don't have them at all.
I think all of Japan has them, but I think
but not the, like the big, factors big ones, I guess.
That come with earthquakes don't affect you.
Right.
Where, like, you're around a large buildings or mm-hmm. older buildings, or you're right on the coast and a tsunami could come in.
Yes.
It's things more like that that you need to consider if it's important to you.
Yeah. I think on that topic, you need to consider location to the water, like tsunamis. Yep. Is that a risk?
Yep.
Volcanoes. Some areas in Japan have volcanic activity or there could be a risk of it.
Yeah.
So these are just things to consider. A lot of these are safe most of the time. That's just something you need to gauge whenever you're looking for an apartment.
And it's not something that is standard. You have to communicate that to your realtor. Say that, you know, this is an important thing to me and mm-hmm. I want it as part of my home.
Right.
And if you're looking on a website, you need to click that as part of your filter mm-hmm. because it's not a guarantee. And earthquakes are pretty common here.
They are.
We could have them a couple a day, maybe one a week, or sometimes we even have gone a few months in between earthquakes.
Which actually kind of makes us want one. So it's kind of funny. We haven't had them beforehand. And now, if I haven't had an earthquake in a while, it's like an itch, and I start feeling uncomfortable, like, man, I haven't had an earthquake in 2 months. What's going on?
Yeah.
I want to feel this rumble, so I feel, you know, like it's moving. It's not going to be a big one or something.
Yeah, it's almost like, okay, it's been a while. Yeah, are we going to have a big one? And we had not experienced earthquakes prior uh-huh. to moving to Japan. Well, I did just before I moved to Japan. So Phil moved over here and he's like, I felt my first earthquake. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I'm jealous because I kind of want to see uh-huh. what it's like, obviously.
I'm like, you'll be here soon.
Yeah. And then ironically, just before I moved to Japan,
uh-huh.
Seattle had an earthquake. And Seattle does.
Which was very uncommon.
Right. Seattle does not have earthquakes. We're prone to them because of the fault line that runs along Seattle, but we mm-hmm. just don't have them. And so it woke me up in the middle of the night and I texted Philip and I'm like, we just had an earthquake.
An earthquake in Seattle. I don't believe it.
Yeah, it was all over Twitter. Everyone was freaking out.
But most of them here are pretty small in Tokyo. They're like threes to fives, if you're familiar. So that's like a small rumble or a shake.
Yeah.
It's not like stuff's falling off the walls.
Yeah.
It's nothing like that on the commonplace.
And if you're in a taller apartment mm-hmm. building, it will sway. It'll almost kind of feel like you're rocking on a ship.
And that's a protection against them.
Yeah. The buildings are designed to sway to help mitigate some of the shaking.
Swaying is good.
Yeah. Swaying is good. So usually they're going to be small. They're not a big deal, but there are always things like the Tohoku earthquake and tsunami. Those things can happen. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean they're guaranteed to happen. So if you're concerned about it, just make sure that you're expressing that you want these earthquake resistant standards.
Yeah. And your realtor should have some info on that. They can usually look at data to see, you know, how common earthquakes here are, or if the standards are good up to what you would expect.
Yeah. Realtor should be able to help you. Okay, moving on to how apartments are different here in Japan versus how they are in the U.S.
Yes.
And this may not be the same for you in your country. Mm-hmm. We are only speaking from our experience as Americans from the U.S.
It simplifies it a little bit.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and start talking about the differences. We'll say features first.
Okay.
So features like air conditioners,
mm-hmm.
taller ceilings, disposal stove. An oven. Typically, you're expecting that you have a lot of these things standard in a U.S. apartment.
Right. These are commonplace.
Right. So usually, you always have an air conditioner. Mm-hmm. Usually, you always have a disposal. Usually, you have a stove. Usually, mm-hmm. you have an oven.
Right.
These things are not standard in Japan.
Yeah. I didn't know disposals were especially super rare.
Yeah. And dishwashers.
Right.
And that's dishwashers. A rare thing. So you may come to a place and it's a little bit older, maybe a little bit cheaper, mm-hmm. and you don't have a stovetop.
Right.
You have to actually go buy a stovetop.
You have to go buy your little burner.
Yeah. And then most places do not have a dishwasher. Mm-hmm. Most do not have a disposal. Usually those are more high-end places that have them. You may not have a washer or dryer.
Or built in a more recent year, I guess.
Yeah, I guess newer places typically might have those nicer features.
Mm-hmm.
Washer dryer is not typical to be in your home. Mm-hmm. And I think
have to buy that. I think we'll talk about that.
Yeah. And a lot of apartments back in the US will have that washer dryer accessible to you, mm-hmm. be it they have actual units in your home, or they even have like hookup
for it.
Yeah, they don't even have hookups.
Some places have, you have to go to a coin laundry, or there's a communal laundromat.
Yeah, and then air conditioners, I think, are a big thing to point out.
Yeah, so central AC, that's kind of what we were used to in the U.S. Yeah. I know there's some places that don't have AC in the U.S. I know that Seattle
Seattle was one of them, where air conditioner is not a guarantee,
right?
Because it's a little bit cooler in the Pacific Northwest. Mm-hmm. But here, the standard is you don't have an AC.
Right.
And you may not even have an AC, like, hookup.
Right.
Because sometimes your AC will be on the wall and it'll be like a bigger unit.
Yeah, they're almost always the wall units.
Yeah, they're never going to be central. They're just not a thing here.
Yeah, they don't have it here.
Or they might have like a little standing air conditioner and then you hook up the hose to the wall. You have to plug
the hose into the wall. Right.
So it's interesting. You just do not come here expecting everything that you're used to in the U.S. is going to be in your Japanese apartment.
A little fun fact, I thought this was an interesting thing on air conditioners, is those wall units, people actually can go buy them. So in the U.S., your air conditioner is just part of the house, right? It's part and you don't change it.
You don't think about it.
You can actually go buy the external fan system. I forget what you call it. The external air conditioner component. You can actually go buy that. So there's, you know, third-party sales or resellers that sell these. And the wall units themselves, you can actually buy your own and have someone install it for you. And then you take it with you when you leave.
Yeah, you can take your stove with you. You can take your washer, dryer, your air conditioner, your lights. That's kind of a random thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of the homes do not have lights installed, like the actual fixtures, and you will take those with you.
There was one place that I looked at that was really nice. It was a great place, but I would have had to get an air conditioner for the living room and for the kitchen and for two bedrooms.
Yes.
And those four air conditioners.
It can be very expensive.
Yeah. That's an interesting one. And then taller ceilings, like we talked about.
Yeah.
A lot of them. So I'm 6'1", so I'm not super tall, but I'm not short.
Yeah.
And a lot of the ceilings are shorter.
Yeah.
If you're getting a cheaper place especially, they can be 7 foot, 8 foot. And even the nicer ones, a lot of times they don't even go to 9 feet.
Yeah.
It varies. Like a lot of the newer ones have better standards, but just as an average, they're a little bit shorter.
Yeah. And it kind of makes your place feel
smaller.
And the places are already so small, so then to have short ceilings, it's kind of annoying. It's not that big of a deal, but it's just something that we noticed when we were looking at places.
And if you're trying to get a smaller place, you don't care that much, you might be able to look for a loft. A loft is kind of that golden ticket where you don't have a whole lot of space, but you have that ceiling height. It makes it feel bigger. It makes it feel more bright and exciting.
Yeah. Okay, moving on to the next thing that is different from here in the U.S., bathrooms.
Mm.
I'm sure a lot of you out there who are kind of looking into Japan have seen videos and TikToks about the amazingness of Japanese bathrooms.
They're pretty cool.
Yeah. They can be really small or they can be pretty spacious.
Yep.
Usually the cheaper or older the place you have, the smaller and kind of funky your bathroom can be.
Some of them even have like a joined unit where the bathtub and the sink and the toilet are all kind of like one molded unit.
Yeah, so it's like a piece of plastic that's on the wall, and your tub and your sink and your toilet are all kind of connected to it. And it's usually really small.
Yeah,
and
sometimes it's a tight space.
Yeah, and sometimes it can be kind of like funky colors, like
you get a lot of the older tan or something.
Yeah, it's not our personal style. If that's your thing, then, you know, you.
Or just it saves a lot of money. If you don't care, then that's a great way to save it.
Yeah.
But some of them start getting really nice.
Yeah, I've seen some pretty nice ones. They can have lots of storage, which is not typical here. Usually you have...
Storage is valuable.
You are lucky to have a place to put towels and such.
Right.
Because the mirror and all that, there's usually not storage there.
Is it a vanity?
Yeah, a vanity, I guess so. There's usually not a lot of storage there. There may be some under the sink storage, but it's usually really small.
Right.
So you might have to buy like little carts and things to hold your towels or whatever else you've got in there. And usually your washer and dryer are in your bathroom.
Yeah, so that's a shared space.
Yeah.
And they vary in size. You can get a really small washer dryer or a lot larger one. And that might take up some of the space.
Yeah, because the washer and dryer, I mean, the cheap ones are really tiny.
They're cute.
They look like toy washers.
Yeah, they reach that cuteness realm.
Yeah, and dryers are not common here. Right. That's another thing about the Japanese bathrooms. Mm-hmm. You usually do not have a dryer. You'll have a washer. Mm-hmm. And then typically Japanese people will dry their clothes on the balconies.
Mm-hmm. Like outside.
Right. And or they'll dry them in their bathrooms. And the
So how would they do it in the bathroom?
So the bathrooms, you actually have like these rods that mm-hmm. usually come pre-installed. Like a clothes rod. It's like a, yeah, like a piece of metal.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can hang your clothes on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has a little unit on the outside and you can choose to put it on dryer mode and it will dry your clothes for you.
This is awesome.
Yeah. And then you just take them out of there as you would from the dryer and put them away. It's yep. awesome.
And that's also good too for, so the thing that she's talking about is inside of the bathtub shower area.
Yeah. We should kind of explain how that's different.
Yeah. So it can also dry your clothes, but it also can ventilate and actually pull out moisture.
Yeah.
So if you're taking a shower,
yep.
you know how it gets really steamy? Mm. If you're in a small place, sometimes it'll steam up your whole apartment, which yes. can be annoying, especially yep. in the summer.
Yep.
So they have a vent option, which will actually vent out
all the that humidity. Moisture. Yeah.
So you can kind of do either heat mode where it heats it up, or you can ventilate it out.
Yeah. And to kind of break down what it looks like, Japanese bathrooms have the tub. And they have a shower room. It's kind of together. So your shower and your tub are in the same room.
Yeah, it's like a sealed wet room.
Yeah. And that's different than sometimes in the U.S. Mm-hmm. because we'll have our toilet and our vanities and our shower all in the same room.
Right.
But they value... not always like
water sealed, I guess.
Yeah, either. Yeah, because it like you can't get water
right.
out. Anyway, all bathrooms pretty much have a tub because... Mm-hmm. tub
they value yeah. their onsen and bathing life.
Yeah, bathing in here is just part of Japanese culture, so almost every single place will have a tub of some sort, right.
which is pretty cool. Like yeah. some of them will take a bath every night.
Yeah, I think it's
not a shower pretty, but an actual bath.
Common. Yeah,
yeah.
So we've been enjoying a lot of bath bombs.
Mm-hmm. Yep, there's a Lush here.
There's several Lushes
and
here.
There's some other places too.
Previously, we didn't really take baths that much, but since we've been here, we've been trying to, like, embrace the, like, bath culture of yeah. Japan, so we've been enjoying that and it's actually relaxing. Really loving it, yeah. So the shower is kind of like an area off to the side of your tub,
mm-hmm.
and you'll have, like, your little shelves where your shampoo and conditioner are,
mm-hmm.
and so you'll rinse your body off first, and then you'll sit in the tub and soak,
mm-hmm.
and then you can get out and, like, wash your hair and all that.
Yeah, and it's the... The shower spot is outside of the tub, which I think is yeah. very interesting and different from how the U.S. is. In yeah. the U.S., you usually shower in your tub.
Yeah.
Unless you have, like, a dedicated shower room. But
yeah.
I actually really like it. I like yeah. having the dedicated space. And yeah. it's pretty much a standard.
Yeah, I think it is the standard.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah. I like it.
And then you go out, and then you'll have the, like, washer-dryer combo or just the washer. And then you'll have your sink and vanity.
Mm-hmm.
And your toilet will be in a totally different room. You have like a toilet room.
Yeah.
And that's the ideal in Japan.
They seem to really value this.
Yeah. And I mean, it's kind of like cool. It's a bonus, but it's a big deal here.
Yeah. It's nice. Like I appreciate having it separate. It's a cool thing. But if you don't really care, that could be an area where you can save some money.
Yeah.
Is just
because there is a cost associated with having a separate toilet.
There is. Like they actually have it as a listing option of like this place has a fireplace. A filter. You know, yeah. whatever. This place has a separated area. And that'll probably bump up the price.
Yeah.
All right. Let me grab another swig of my strong zero here.
All right. Go for it.
All right. What are we going to talk about next?
Okay. Next thing is appliances. And like I kind of mentioned earlier, a lot of these things will not be standard in your home. So you will have to purchase them. And that's going to be usually a dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
And that. What I mean by buying a dishwasher does not mean like installing it in your cabinetry.
Yeah.
It means that you will get a small little box unit that you put on top of your counter and that's your little dishwasher.
It's like an appliance, like a microwave or yeah. a toaster oven.
And honestly, looking at them, I'm not
I don't think it's worth it.
Impressed.
Yeah.
You can wash like five things.
Right. Like
it doesn't make sense.
Would you want to hook this up and use a special detergent and all the hassle for the space 5 dishes.
It would take up. Right. Yeah. But it is something that you can buy.
You could. Maybe we're missing something. Maybe there's some magic about it.
Well, we have a dishwasher.
Yeah, we actually have a rarity. A built-in.
Yeah, so we have a rarity. And dishwashers are small, even if they are built into your cabinets here. They're it's like tiny. Half the size of a regular U.S. dishwasher.
Yeah, you can get like 4 plates in there and some silverware.
And your silverware and a few glasses. And right. It's like, okay, when you're lazy, maybe you'll do that. But typically we skip that anyway.
Right. And then the fridge.
Fridge. We got a nice fridge.
Yeah. Well, we invested. So yes. We knew we want to stay in Japan a long time.
Yeah. And this is, I think, something to think about when you're going to buy appliances.
Yes. So if you're just appliances in general, think about, are you coming here? Do you intend to stay here a long time? Are you going to do a 2 to 3 year contract?
Yeah.
If you don't know or if you're not sure, then that might affect how much you actually want to invest in your appliances.
Yeah.
So there's a pro tip here is... There's a thing called Tokyo Sayonara Sales. It's a Facebook group.
Yes.
And basically, people leave Japan at some point. New people come in. People move. And it's basically an expat space for reselling appliances and different things like furniture, clothing, whatever. Yep. And you can get some really good deals on a, not a dishwasher, but a clothes washing machine.
I'm trying to
say the right word here.
Yeah.
But you can buy like a fridge for $200. You can buy a washing machine for $100. And it's super easy to just get you started.
Yeah.
Or if you're like us and we know we're going to be here a long time. Yep. Like that's our plan. You never know how things change.
Yeah. But
that's
so that's invested. Our default. Yeah.
Yeah. So we got a nice fridge and we got a nice washing machine.
A washer dryer combo. We got a fancy one. That is not common here.
Yeah. All right, we got a few details on this that are just relevant to appliances specifically.
Yeah.
The first one is fridges are smaller in general due to the apartment constraints.
Yeah, typically.
Typically.
Yeah, so ours is even smaller, even though we got kind of a bigger one.
Right.
There are a lot of apartments that actually use mini fridges, which is odd coming from the U.S. where we have our...
Everyone has a default big fridge.
Yeah, a big fridge. But to see some of the apartment tours that we've looked up on YouTube, people usually have like a mini fridge, which is strange. But when you move into your apartment and you have your fridge space, you need to make sure that you measure it.
Right.
Because often they're either short or they're very slim. And when you're going there and you're looking to invest a lot of money, not a lot of money, it just doesn't matter.
Right.
You need to make sure that your fridge will fit.
Yeah, and it's usually kind of like a little square.
Little cutout.
Cutout that you have to fit it into.
Yeah.
And they're used to this. This is very commonplace, so they can usually help
if
you
roll up there with like measurements, they know that this is just what you do here.
Right.
And the same is true for your washer and dryer. Because
especially
it varies so much. I don't think there's a standard size in homes or apartments. So you need to make sure that you measure out your space and you take it with you and you say, please let me see my options with these dimensions. And that will kind of cut out the rest.
Yeah. So that's a pro tip. Yep. Measure your spaces before you go to the store.
Yeah.
All right. So we talked about sayonara sales, good for cheap ones. On the flip side, if you're trying to buy something decent or if you're still trying to buy something cheap, you know, but new.
Yeah. If you just don't want secondhand.
Right. There's two main places that I would recommend. The first is Bit Camera. And the second one is Yodobashi Camera.
Yep.
These are electronic superstores, kind of like Fry's Electronics, if anyone's heard of that.
Well, does Fry's have like dishwashers and things?
Yeah, they have all that stuff.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
But basically, it's a giant store that has everything.
Everything.
So they have computer parts, they have games, they have household appliances, they have skincare. Like, it's crazy.
It's everything. Yeah.
And so there's a whole floor dedicated to like fridges and air conditioners and appliances.
Yeah.
And the magic of this is, so to preface it, Japan does not do price negotiations usually. Like,
there's usually not sales and there's usually not coupons. It's just usually you're paying retail.
You pay the price that you see.
Yep.
And you can't like haggle, you know, you can't finagle the price and say, hey, I'll give you, if I buy two, can I get a discount?
Yeah.
It's usually just pay what you see.
Yep.
But when you go to Big Camera or Yodobashi, you can actually negotiate the price of appliances and some other stuff. And what you can do, what I would recommend is I would say go to Yodobashi. In Akihabara, there's a big one.
Yeah.
It's great for just seeing the selection, figure out which one you want.
Yep.
Once you see that, I would go over to Big Camera. And usually they're a little bit cheaper for appliances.
Okay.
And what you can say is, hey, Yodobashi had this price. Can you beat that?
Yep.
And they'll say, yeah, here's this discount.
Usually they're like, let me go talk to someone. Right. They always like, let me go figure it out. And then they go and they're like, okay, we can do it.
Right.
And then sometimes you can negotiate points.
Yeah.
Which is something that's really big here, like across everything in Japan. Yes. Points. You at the konbini, at wherever.
The grocery store.
Yeah, there's point cards Yodobashi, for everything.
Everybody has a point card.
So you can negotiate, well, I got this better price. Can I also get extra points if I buy more than one?
Yeah, you can combo discounts.
So yeah, like, and so you can get a lot of points accumulated, and then those points will turn into money that you can continue to use there.
Right. Yeah, so if you buy more than one thing, you can get a second negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't confirmed this, but something that I saw at the store on their registry is they have three slots for negotiated price.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I read that is they have up to three times that
you can kind of push them.
Yeah. So I think the second time is really the magic zone.
Yeah, and you got a pretty good deal, right?
Yeah, I think Phil
bought our fridge and our washer dryer combo.
Right, I think I got $1,000 off. So that's worth the hassle. I know some people are out there like, I don't know if I want to talk to them.
Yeah, it's stressful. If it were just me, I don't like confrontation,
right.
So that would be hard for me, but Phil's like, he'll get the good deal.
Yeah. But
so
I'm glad if you save that. Like $500,
yeah,
it might be worth it.
And we had how many points after buying?
We had a ton.
I think
we bought our rice cooker with the points.
Yeah, with the points we got from our washer and dryer, we bought our like $800 rice cooker.
That's crazy. That's a whole nother long story. It's dramatic, but yeah, we'll save that. So after appliances, let's talk about something else that's different from US apartments. This is one that I saw that was kind of interesting, is that almost every place I've seen in Tokyo has a balcony.
Mm-hmm.
I like all price ranges.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like all of them in the US always had a balcony.
Yeah, I think a balcony is kind of like a bonus where you pay a little bit more in the US.
Yeah.
And I think that is for...
the clothes drying.
Well, clothes drying, number one. Sometimes there are washers out there, too.
Oh, you're right.
But I think they use it in taller buildings in a fire escape.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's what that's for.
Yeah.
But it's nice because if you have a cheaper place or a really nice place, I think almost every place is going to guarantee you a balcony space.
Yeah. So if you have a really tiny spot, that might be your little getaway zone. You
know, yeah.
Helps you survive.
Yeah. So you can put some storage out there if your place is really small. Your washer might have to go out there. You can put your clothes out there if your bathroom does not come equipped with a dryer. So I think it's awesome that they have it. It's not a guarantee in the US.
Yeah. All right. So up next is trash.
Oh my gosh, trash.
This is a topic on its own, but we'll keep it condensed and related to apartments.
Yeah. So trash is separated here to the nth degree.
Yep.
I don't even know how many categories they are. We are lucky in our apartment in that we can take our trash down anytime we want.
Right.
That is not typical at all places. Usually there is a specific thing that you take out on a specific day.
Like they give you calendars.
Yes.
Of like, here's the month of trash.
Yeah.
Your month of trash. Today's trash is batteries and light bulbs.
Yes.
And if you have those things, that is the one day in the month you get to throw it away.
Or the week or whatever.
Yeah, and it's just very specific. Like Sony Walkmans have a trash day.
Yep.
And, you know, cassette players and records and things like that.
Yeah, and so they have all these bazillion different categories that their trash is separated in, and they'll give you this placard when you move in to help you kind of sort your trash, and then it will say, this day is this, this day is this, this day is this, and you have to follow that, and they are very strict about it.
They're very meticulous.
Especially if you live not in an apartment, if you live in a house and you have neighbors, I've heard that neighbors will kind of monitor you, and they'll be like, knock on your door and be like,
excuse me,
you're not doing this
your
right.
Trash is wrong,
right? And then if your neighbors don't happen to catch it, I think you'll get the red tag.
Oh, the red tag of death.
Like, you didn't do your trash right.
You get like a warning and then a fine, I think.
I don't know how it works,
but in an apartment complex,
yeah,
it makes it way easier.
Yeah, I don't know if all apartment complexes are this way.
Mm-hmm.
We happen to have it this way where we can take any trash that we want downstairs any time of the day, because we have a trash room. And the trash room has like a burnables, a compostables, a plastics, batteries, yeah, cardboard. And we just take it down there and we separate it when we get down there. And it's great. So just think about that when you're moving in. You're going to have to be
It's worth looking into.
You need to research it and they'll get you.
They will.
So you need to make
the
sure
the trash police.
They will.
The trash, just a little side note, the garbage trucks in Japan are
They're super cute.
Yeah. They're kawaii.
Yeah, sometimes they'll have like anime characters on them and they'll play like cute little music.
It's like the ice cream truck growing up.
It kind of is, yeah.
Yeah, and they're coming around and they're super friendly.
And they're really fast.
Yeah, and they're fast and efficient. I mean, it's just the epitome of like the cool Japanese stereotype of like efficiency, cuteness, speed.
Yep. So the next thing would be flooring. And this one was a little bit surprising and I'm happy it's here. They have heated floors sometimes.
Sometimes. And
we happen to have heated floors in our living room. And
our place is nicer
room.
Than what we were planning on getting because it was the only thing available.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about before. Trying to put in some offers. This was the only one that we managed to get out of like three of them that we were trying to get.
And it has some nicer features.
Right.
So we were a little bit spoiled.
We didn't want to pay for them, but they were there.
Yep. And we
so
love them.
So we use them. The cats like them.
Yeah. If you guys are following my personal Instagram, Jin in Japan, you will see that I am posting several pictures of the cats literally like sprawled out and asleep on the ground because they love the heated floors.
They just like cannot survive.
Yeah.
If it's turned on, they just fall into
they
mush.
Melt. They melt into cat mush on the ground.
Cat puddle.
And I think too, it's a bit cheaper to have your floors heated than to run your heater.
Yeah.
That we've noticed that.
Yeah, it saves a lot of electricity.
So we keep the heat at the floors heated at night and don't run the air conditioner.
Right.
And our bill has been a lot cheaper and the cats are warm at night.
Yeah. And then another flooring type that's kind of interesting to talk about is tatami mats.
Tatami, yes.
And the reason why we're bringing this up is there's a little bit of preparation for it. And when you're buying an apartment to know, tatami mats take a little bit of effort to maintain.
Well, you have to be careful.
Right.
Because you can't put heavy furniture on them. You can't drag things across them.
Yep.
If you spill them, you can ruin them and they're quite expensive.
You'll have to pay to replace them probably.
Yeah. And it maybe it's a bonus to you because you like the way they feel or like the way they look, but you need to consider like all the things you have to do to maintain that tatami. Otherwise, you might be paying a lot.
Yeah, they can get humidity underneath. Like if
they can get moldy in the summer.
They can get moldy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just basically if you see tatami, think about if you want that, if you want to maintain it.
If you want to deal with that.
It could be an unexpected expense. Just if you're, you know, if you have like your chair legs and they could break it.
Or if you have kids or
kids.
You have pets.
Cats.
Like if a cat would be like scratching at the tatami.
Right.
Yeah, not every place has tatami. I think it's usually on the cheaper, older places.
Cheaper, or they have tea rooms or like a nice family room, like the dining room. If you have a place that actually has its own dining room, sometimes they're that way.
Yeah.
Which, they're really nice. I didn't know what I would think of tatami mats.
Yeah, because when we were looking at places, I'm like, I don't know if I want a tatami room. Because the hassle is like not attractive to
me.
But we went on vacation to, where did we go?
Was that
Hakone?
Hakone?
I think it was when we went to Hakone.
I think it was Hakone.
We stayed at a nicer hotel, and there was this giant tatami area in the
it
living room.
It was a huge living room.
And it was so nice.
It was amazing.
It was like silky soft, and I don't know, I was really impressed by it. So.
It made me want tatami.
Yeah, and previously I was like, no, if there's tatami, I don't want it. So...
With cats, I don't know if we could even pull that off.
Cats, dogs too, with their nails.
Dogs,
sometimes their nails get long. So just something to consider when you're looking at an apartment.
The last thing on flooring is just the note that a lot of them have soft floors.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, which that was kind of surprising. They dent and they chip.
Yeah. You know you're not supposed to wear your shoes. Past the Genkan. The Genkan is that little area where the shoes usually sit.
Yep.
So you know, I just thought that was like a habit that has always been there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they keep doing it and that's fine.
Right.
But living in our place now, we have the wood flooring and it's really soft. And what I mean soft is like sometimes when our cats are running through the house, it can scratch the floor.
Right.
And it gets dented very easily if something too heavy is on it.
Mm-hmm.
We've dropped things that are not usually going to cause a dent and it dents the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So just be careful when you're moving things in your house or if you're, I don't know, putting heavy things on it. You're going to have to pay for that.
You might need like furniture pads underneath your your table and chairs and such. And when I was looking at apartments, I noticed a lot of them had, you know, chipped floors. And I thought that was interesting. And that's just because they're really soft.
Yeah. It's kind of annoying, honestly.
Yeah. It's very different from the U.S.
Because usually we have the fake wood floors that are like indestructible.
Or carpet.
Yeah.
But this is like a in-between.
Yeah. And there's not carpet here, really.
Mm-mm.
I don't know. I don't think
I've ever seen carpet in an apartment.
Hmm.
All right. So next up is, let's just talk about in general, humidity.
Humidity and dehumidification.
Yeah. So in the summer, it's crazy hot, crazy humid.
Yes.
And in the winter, it's the polar opposite. Right now, super dry.
My skin is so dry. you have to kind of regulate that because you don't have central heating.
Mm-hmm.
And you have your little units. You have to, I mean, really, I don't know how you would live if you didn't have a dehumidifier in your aircon.
So this relates to apartments and the fact that if your apartments have the wall-mounted AC, which most of them do, they typically have the feature, they have a dry mode.
Yeah.
And the dry mode will actually remove the humidity from the room.
Dehumidify the room.
Yeah. And it's actually cheaper to run than if you're running your AC, like in air conditioning mode, that's usually more expensive. You can run dry mode and it'll dry out the room, prevent mold and all this stuff, and save some money.
Circulate the air.
Yeah.
So you're not running the AC, you're running the dry mode.
Right.
So it's a little bit different.
Yeah. So that's in the summer. You can run your dry mode. That's a pro tip. So if you have those air conditioners, just think about that. Or if you're buying an apartment, consider if you have them in each room.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have one in a room,
you're going to have to buy
a dehumidifier. Yeah,
because you'll get mold in your clothes. You can get it in your tatami. You can get it everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, especially in your bathroom. I know that there's a big problem with mold growing in bathrooms.
Yes. Yeah, we've been pretty good on this so far, but I definitely noticed that there'll be condensation in places or risk of mold. And so it's something to look out for.
Yeah, and the opposite in the winter, what we're dealing with now, it is very, very dry because the heat is on, obviously, from the floors or from the AC.
Right.
And we have a air purifier / humidifier that I'm basically taking with me from room to room.
Yeah.
Because I have super dry skin to begin with. Uh-huh. And now I'm like putting lotion on 4 or 5 times a day because it's just so dry.
Yep. I'll be working in the morning, right? I'm in my office. I have an office and I hear this like clunk, 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 clunk. And Jenny's dragging the humidifier out into the living room.
I gotta have it, man.
So she just keeps it out in there and then she drags it back into the bedroom.
And I got all the plants in the living room too. And they have to have like a certain humidity level. They start getting dry. So we're going to buy a second one, but we haven't yet. But if you have dry skin or you're concerned about that, invest in a humidifier, even if it's a cheap one,
just
to help get some moisture in your air.
Yeah, and they have these at the stores. They're pretty easy to find.
Big Camera, Yodobashi. You can find all that from all different kinds of price ranges.
Yep.
Okay, I think that is as much as we can talk about on apartments. We went pretty extensively there for you.
So hopefully that was enough detail.
Yeah, and if you have anything else you want to know about apartments, you can always email us at tokyoadventures@gmail.com.
Yeah.
All of that information for our socials and email will be in the description of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And the second episode, talking about the cost of living, so what those appliances cost, what your monthly costs are going to be, is going to be the next episode.
Yes.
And that'll
How much is your actual moving cost?
Yeah.
What are your monthly expenses?
Yep. So you can get an idea of what your budget needs to look like.
Right.
That'll be the next episode, part two of this little Living in Japan series, probably in the next few days after this one's posted. So be on the lookout for that. And I think that's going to be it for today.
All right.
Until next time, see you guys then.
Bye, everyone.
All right, bye.